everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Let's talk about Target Circle.
Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target?
With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circlecard.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sorry, I was absent last week.
Totally fine. You know? The great and glorious Kim Moffat stepped in and was...
Oh, and she did fantastic.
Fabulous. And it was...
The perfect person.
Yeah. It was...
Person to step in at the last minute because she already knows everything about Full House.
Exactly. That's why I was like, oh, I know exactly who I'm gonna call because she... Yeah. Kim knows more about the show than I do, for sure.
Oh, more than both of us combined.
Yeah.
Easily.
Absolutely.
Easily.
But it was really fun. I'm so glad you're back.
Yes.
I can't tell you how many people sang my name at 90s
Con. Oh, they did?
Yep. Jody Sweetin. Yeah. And they all told me to sing it back to Andrea Barber. So.
Oh, I love
lots
that.
Lots of love.
I love that.
You were missed. I have a few things I would like to show you.
Oh, yes. Please do. What do you have to show? Show and tell?
Show and tell. Some wonderful fan made me a friendship bracelet. Which I have a bunch of them still. I saved all of them that people made me. They're all over there by the Full House house. But this one in particular was really epic because they made a bracelet that says, "The world is small, but the house is full." And it's just exactly the size.
Perfect.
I have no excuse. Unless I like read it backwards or something. But no excuse. It's always, it is going to be right here. And I just have to read it. So thank you
that.
So
you
much.
You needed that more than anyone else.
They were like, here, I put it on a bracelet. Now you can't screw it up. So I think it was sort of
thoughtful.
Yeah, they were like, we're done with this. Just read it, please.
It's a little petty, and I love it. It's just like, Jody, get it right.
It's like Gwen,
Gwen,
just read
Jody,
it.
Jody, just read your script.
Just read it. Right. I don't know. Anyway, so there's that.
Okay.
I also have several little bracelets for you.
Oh, yay.
Some things, some stickers that fans have given. There's
that's so nice.
A few more in here. There's a little envelope-y for you.
Oh,
I've got
nice.
Some pictures and stuff. But I have to show you, there were, I think, two people, or maybe three, that came with the picture of this, but the first person that came through the line that gave me this had put it in a frame, and it is very, very special to me.
Oh, what is it?
What do you think it is? Dun-dun.
Dun-dun, dun-dun, a picture
dun-dun,
in a frame.
Dun-dun, 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 dun-dun.
Is it the bunny?
It's a pink bunny.
My very own pink bunny in a frame.
Because that was your room and your bunnies.
Exactly. And so somebody said, you need a framed bunny. And so now I have a framed pink bunny. And I thank you so much to the fan that brought me this at 90s Con in Hartford. I love it. It literally is sitting in my office now. And I have a pink bunny. And all is okay with the world.
I feel like our characters are healing their generational trauma here.
We are healing deep wounds. And another fan was so sweet. I thought they wanted me to sign this. I was like, there's no way they're like, no, it's for you. We know you love Legos.
Oh.
So they got me the little mini Disney castle.
What? That's right? So nice.
I was like, are you for me? Seriously?
Wow.
So sweet, so generous. Thank you so much. I can't wait to build my Disney Legos.
We have the best fans. My goodness.
Everyone was so excited, had so much fun. Everyone sent you so much love, AB. Oh, they were all like, we love Andrea. We wish she was here. And I was like, she is here in spirit. And you got so much love. So just know that. But our fans were awesome at 90s Con. And it was really fun. We had a good time.
That is so sweet. That's so heartwarming. And thank you for passing on those wonderful messages. I was so sad when I had to cancel, but, I just had some family stuff going on.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, life happens, right? I heard a great quote today during my Peloton ride. Yeah, Peloton. It was Toon Day that said it. And she said, what is a plan but just your best guess anyway? And I was like, that's so true, because she was like, I woke up in a mood because I had a plan and then it just didn't go. And she was like, but a plan's really just kind of a guess of what you think is going to happen. Anyway, and I was like, that's true.
It's true. It's our best guess. And sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, so you know what? And sometimes it doesn't happen. And sometimes you got to deal with family stuff. And that's how it goes. But you were missed. You were loved.
The rest of the
cast and stuff said hello. We'll drag you back for another one.
Yes, I will definitely be at the next one. And I was, my heart is very full. Thank you for the love and the grace. And thank you for stepping in, Jody, and pinch hitting with the recap. You did a great job.
Look, this is the thing we know about me. It's all silly and crazy and wild until, the proverbial hits the fan, and then I'm like, I'm in, I got it. And I astound myself with how actually on top of things that I am and can be. So that's
when
the
really
thing is,
matters,
I'm like, I know I can.
Yeah, you step up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, of course you can. Of course you can. So
but
I do appreciate it.
I loved hosting with Kim. It was really fun. But yeah.
Nice.
Glad to have you back.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good to be back. And I am so excited to recap Fogged In.
Oh,
what a great episode. Carl the Fog is back.
Yeah, Carl
interrupting
is,
plans again. Talk about plans being interrupted.
Carl is really, he is kind of the nemesis of the Tanner family, really.
He's the Stefano Demera from Days of Our Lives.
Wow.
He's the villain.
I never watched that often, but even I remember Stefano because it was the name. Oh, yes.
The evil villain just wrecking everyone's plans.
Yep. Almost the, was it Gargamel? No. No, Gargamel was the cat in the Smurfs.
Who was the villain in the Smurfs? Who was, wasn't Gargamel?
I thought Gargamel was the cat. Anyway.
Anyways.
Exactly.
Okay.
He was always foiling the Smurfs plans. I don't know why that popped into my head, but that's where we're at.
Love it.
So Carl the Fog is back again. What if this show was set anywhere else?
What if it was set in the desert? They would have no, they would have no villainous
Then you'd
weather.
Have flash floods, maybe?
Heat stroke.
Heat stroke would be at the end. You could do that. Chicago, you could just get sudden winds that,
We could be blown away. True.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
but
fog is much
this
easier.
This is episode 3 with Carl the Fog.
Yes, that's right. We had Carl. Wait, I wrote it down.
We
but
had
not
the,
here.
The Disneyland one, right?
Disneyland trip. Yes, the Disneyland trip that got interrupted.
Right.
And then Carl the Fog interrupted the Beach Boys going to wake up San Francisco and ruined Danny's plans for that. And now here, everybody's stuck in the Full House because of Carl LaFog.
Why does Carl hate the Tanners so much?
I don't know.
Carl LaFog really is like, oh, you guys are going to do something fun? No, you're not.
But yeah, no, the fog was incredible. Like the special effects.
Oh my God,
there was so much
like,
fog.
I was like, wow, I've never seen fog do that. Like, yes. But it was thick.
They're like, the joke has to work. Get as much fog as possible.
I feel like there's a horror movie called The Fog, and it's... That's the only time I've ever seen fog behave that way. When it's like creeping into your house, like through the front door. I was like, whoa, it's aggressive fog.
That was very aggressive fog. Yeah. So, that props to our, what department is that? Not
that
props
would be,
department.
That would be special effects. That'd be effects department. Yeah, yeah. There was someone there with a smoke machine and a fan just doing that. Yeah.
The hard part is when you're done with the scene, but you have to do it again. And they got to clear all that fog out to then make it appear whenever it appeared in that first scene. So, yeah.
Oh, that's the hard part. The clearing
of the
fog. You got
to blow the fog out before they bring it back.
Before you blow the fog in? I don't know. Okay.
Okay. Well, let's get into it, shall we?
Let's do this. Yeah.
Welcome back to How Rude, Tanneritos. I'm Andrea Barber.
And I'm Jody Sweeten.
And today we're discussing season 2, episode 12, entitled Fogged In. Is it I-N-N or is it I-N? I know in our notes here it says I-N, but there's somewhere else I read it was in, like, you know, coming to the inn, staying.
Like fogged in?
Yeah, like this is the inn.
Oh, I don't know, but that's a great little play on words.
Yeah.
I mean, it really only works if you read it, but I like, but I appreciate it.
True. Okay. It doesn't really work over this audio medium, but that's
okay.
Well, no,
but yeah, it's in the spell, the fogged in.
Fogged in.
That would be a great name for a bed and breakfast in San Francisco. Oh my God, we should buy the Full House house and turn it into the Fogged In.
Oh my gosh, yes. Let's do it. The neighbors will be so excited that someone else from Full House has bought the house. Again.
I have so many plans. Okay. I'm just going to be standing outside with a fog machine all the time. Neighbors are going to love it.
That's awesome. This episode originally aired on January 20th, 1989, the day after your birthday, Jody Sweeten.
I was all of 7 years old.
Wow. Seven.
No.
This is season 2.
Season 2. Yeah.
I think you were seven.
Well, I mean, 1989. I was born in 82. If I'm doing the math correctly, I'm pretty sure I was seven, but don't.
Okay. That works.
Not a mather. So.
You were born in the 80s? Dang. I'm a 76 girl. So bicentennial baby.
Oh, yay.
So the show, the episode goes a little something like this. The fog rolls in and so does everyone else. That's it. What more do you need to know about this episode?
Right?
That's it. It was directed by Joel Zwick. It was written by Kim Weissikoff. And our guest stars are all returning guest stars this year. We have John Apria back as Nick Katsopoulos. Yvonne Wilder also returns as Irene Katsopoulos. And then we have Diane Brody returning as Cheryl. We first saw her in Triple Date.
That's right.
She's back. She was originally Jesse's date in that episode, I believe, if I'm correct. And then they swapped.
Right.
Remember, they all swapped dates
right.
At the
end. Yes, right.
And then Joey ended up with Cheryl. So this is great.
Yeah.
This is her second Full House episode. She's in a total of 3. And again, this is another actor where Full House was their very last credit. So we killed this acting career.
It went so well for some of us and so not for others. I don't know what, yeah.
They were just like, never again.
Never again.
Stepping foot
am I
going to
be a guest star? Right. I want to do this ever again. Okay.
Okay. So we open in Joey's room. Joey has Michelle seated on his bed and Joey's wearing a cardigan. That is very reminiscent of that cup, that paper cup, that waxy paper cup from the 90s, where it's got like turquoise and
purple. You know what? There were people at 90s Con dressed up as that cup because you can buy that pattern online in like shirts and sweatshirts and stuff. So maybe Joey Gladstone was kind of the original with it. But yeah, you're right. He does look like those, like a 80s. A cup from a mall refreshment stand in a generic 80s teen movie because you couldn't use any of the, like, you know,
Coke products or anything.
Right. So they were like, just put that turquoise cup in there. It's kind of the precursor to the red Solo cup, I feel like.
Yeah.
Really, that cup walked so the red Solo cup could fly.
Yes, it did. It did. And here we are, 1989. Joey is already wearing these colors. I love it. So Joey asks Michelle what her favorite impression is because he's putting an act together.
Always good to consult with toddlers while doing your stand-up routine.
Oh, of course. What better audience, right? Joey does a Jay Leno impression and Michelle responds by resting her head on her hand. Joey does a Rodney Dangerfield impression next, and he gets the same unamused response from Michelle.
Oof, tough critic.
Joey tells her, "Ah, you don't know comedy when you see it, Michelle." And she responds, "No repecs." And Joey laughs and says, "No respect." Michelle tells him, "Me, funny." And Joey jokingly calls her a little monster and begins tickling her before giving her a big kiss.
Dave did such great impressions. It was so fun. Have to say, though, I wonder how many people of younger generations were like, who are those people that he's impersonating?
Who's Jay Leno?
Right.
Rodney Dangerfield.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he used to host The Tonight Show. Isn't that Kimmel? No, there was a whole.
So then we have the show credits, and then we're in the kitchen. Michelle is making eggs at her plastic kitchen as Danny watches. He jokes, "You prepared them my favorite way, polyvinyl side up."
Isn't that a reference? Isn't that PVC? Isn't that the thing that we all say, like, there's no PVC in this now? Polyvinyl.
Oh, and now.
Something.
And it was Danny's favorite.
It was Danny's favorite. Like, oh, I'm so glad that this highly cancerous and carcinogenic play food is made out of this. Yeah.
Ah, the 80s, you know?
Right?
Who needed warnings like that?
Yeah.
It's amazing we all turned out okay. Steph and DJ race downstairs in their pajamas. Steph quickly asks if Danny can make French toast for breakfast, but DJ protests, asking him to make waffles instead. They argue back and forth, and Danny suggests going to the tiebreaker, Michelle. Michelle smiles and says, "Cookies." Steph looks up at Danny and admits, "I can live with that." It's all kind of the same. It's bread, it's flour, it's sugar.
Right, cookies, French toast, waffles. The fact that we as Americans have lied to ourselves and said that, like, a muffin, which is just cake in a smaller form, is breakfast. It's astounding.
It's so great.
And look, I love muffins. Don't get me wrong. It is breakfast cake.
Right,
and I'm here
I love
for
breakfast
it.
Cake. Nothing like it.
Yeah.
So Jesse slowly stumbles downstairs with messy hair. His eyes are half closed and he lets out a big yawn.
But very clean shaven.
There's no 5 o'clock shadow or 8 o'clock shadow, whatever time it is.
No.
Yeah, you're right.
He must have shaved in his sleep or something.
Or maybe he was a slow grower, you know? He had Greek jeans, so I feel like they were hairy.
Yeah, they were
hairy men.
Look at the hair on his head. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so he must have shaved in his sleep. Danny jokes, "You better check the expiration date on that moose." And Jesse just glares at him. DJ confesses, "I've never seen anyone looked so wiped out." Cue Joey. Joey walks up from his room and throws himself over the baby gate, looking just as wiped out. Jesse walks over to his sleepy partner in crime and congratulates them both on staying up all night so they could finish that jingle.
These guys and their last minute larrying of the jingle writing.
Procrastination galore, you know?
I mean, I get it. You know, maybe, they only work best under pressure.
Yeah, when the genius comes is when they're on a deadline. Kimmy cheerfully bursts in the back door with a suitcase in her hand, exclaiming, "Good morning, I'm here for the weekend."
Joey, a giant suitcase, by the way.
Bigger than me, really.
Like you could have gone somewhere for a week with that. I don't know what Kimmy's bringing into this house, but I would love to know what's in that bag.
Yeah, I could easily fit Taylor Swift into that suitcase and hide her around.
Yeah, for sure.
Joey and Jesse scream in horror, and thus begins this long tradition of Kimmy not being welcome in the Tanner home and scaring the adults as she pops in. Can we talk about my hair? Like, this hair is so
painful. Can we talk about it? I wrote so many notes, and I believe even last week with Kim, there was...
It came up, yep.
What was going on? The thought process, the choice? Why did your hair all of a sudden get so freaking gigantic?
I've never seen real hair look more like a wig than a wig.
Right?
You know, it's... It's big. It's like spider webby. At least I had like a little plastic headband on, so that gave it some
color. Can you imagine if there was nothing holding that down? You know, I mean, it would have just flown right off your head.
That was my real hair. That's the saddest thing, is that was my real hair. And it just
looked
so bad.
Well, I'm sure you didn't wake up and your hair looked like that.
No, but
that
took
some styling. You just had very thick hair that if you curled and sprayed it in the manner that it was, it looked like a Patrick Swayze wig or something. Yeah. It was mullet material.
It was just two shades away from a mullet.
There was no business in the front. It was just party all over.
There was nothing professional about it. No, it was all party, all Gibbler, all the time.
Yeah, maybe that's what she has in the suitcase, is hair products.
That's what it is. It's all of her Aquanet.
It's all of her Aquanet. Right. It's a giant industrial size Aquanet.
So DJ takes Kimmy's suitcase out of her hands and heads upstairs. Then the doorbell rings and Joey exits to get it. Kimmy thanks Danny for having her over for the weekend, reminding him that she's allergic to dairy products, feather pillows, and six-year-olds, glaring right at Steph. Stephanie defends herself. Don't look at me. I'm 6 3/4.
Yeah.
I just love watching these early interactions between us.
Yes.
Our frenemyship is developing episode by episode, and I'm here for it. Danny asks Kimmy if her parents are coming back Sunday. To which Kimmy replies, absolutely, Wednesday at the latest. Jesse sluggishly asks his family, who wants to chip in for a hotel? And they all raise their hands, including Michelle.
I love how Steph raised both hands.
Yeah, Stephanie's like, get me out of here.
Please.
Get me some French toast and a hotel room, please.
Exactly. I need to get away. Pack up the car and break free to embark on an adventurous weekend. What do you say, AB? Will you come with me?
Well, how will we get there, Jody Sweetin?
Well, may I suggest the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe.
Oh, I have seen this car. It is stunning.
Right? I am loving the new Hyundais, and the features make it the perfect vehicle to pack up the family and get away. There's available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, which is perfect when you have two kids who both want to stare at their phones rather than talk to you. I speak from experience.
Relatable. The Santa Fe's entire existence is to make sure it can take you on any adventure stress-free and ready to relax.
Ooh, what do you say, Andrea? How about we, like, you know, time travel isn't real, but what if we, like, take it back to the late 80s and go on a phone-free weekend somewhere?
Oh, yes. Let's go out to Joshua Tree, where there's not even cell phone service.
Perfect. Let's go on a little weekend trip somewhere.
Yeah.
Out. We'll make it like it's 1988. No phones. No nothing. I'm going to braid my hair into a rat tail and bring a guitar to sing like a ripper. It's going to be great.
I'm going to put my hair up in a scrunchie with my permed hair and head on out in the Hyundai. So if you want to just escape your house filled with kids or your sister's widowed husband and your jingle writing partner, just go up to the snow and sing a cappella with your ripper's bandmates. This is the car to do it.
Well, that is if you don't already own a motorcycle and maybe have a helmet.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I don't know about you listeners, but my social battery has been pretty drained recently. I've noticed how easy it is to spread myself too thin, especially when life feels nonstop. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you manage to maintain a good balance? I found therapy to be the best tool in maintaining my energy levels. I'm now able to be my best self for not only my friends and family, but most importantly, for me. I truly believe therapy is for everyone, no matter how big or small your problems may seem. Seeing a licensed therapist can help you get to the root of your problems and empower you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/howrude today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/howrude.
Hey, Fanaritos, we want to talk to you about Target Circle, the same program you know and love
now with automatic deals.
I know it, and I definitely love it. And did you know that the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
It's the new Target Circle 360. Plus, with unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
In the living room, Joey answers the front door with a waffle in his mouth, and it's Cheryl. She looks.
Wait, was it a waffle or a jelly donut?
Oh, you know, I think it was a jelly donut because it comes back at the end of this little scene.
Right.
Yeah. I wrote down waffle, but it's, you're right, it's a jelly donut.
Okay.
Cheryl is shocked to see Joey in such disarray. "Are you the same Joey I've been dating for 2 months?" she says. And he responds, "No, I'm Joey's grungy twin brother, Sloppy Joe. Let me go get Handsome Joe." She stops him and says she just wants to stop by to see if he'd like to go skiing over the weekend.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I forgot that Joey had this girlfriend in the beginning.
Right. Well, I think there was really no follow-up after a triple date. The girls went off into the ether.
But didn't she, is this her second or third?
This is her second. This is her second episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because I was surprised. I was like, wait, what? 2 months?
2 months, yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah.
Who is this person? And then I was like, oh, wait, that's right. I remember. Yeah.
So, yeah, no, this all took place off stage, and now this is Cheryl's back. Yeah. We're learning about this relationship in real time here. Joey is surprised that Cheryl wants to take the risk of seeing him like this again, but she jokes, "You haven't seen my evil twin yet. No makeup, Cheryl."
I'm going to say right there, I can see why this relationship isn't going to work.
Yeah.
She's not funny.
Well,
she's not funny.
She's not funny enough for Joey. Definitely.
No makeup, Cheryl. That's not.
Yeah.
When she said that, I went, oh, yeah. Joey's like, he's bummed at that one.
Yeah. Yeah. This relationship is not going to last.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's okay.
But she tried. It's okay.
She tried. And I think, you know, Joey's just excited that somebody loves him and he wants to go skiing for the weekend.
Right.
So. All right.
Exactly.
Cheryl tells him she'll pick him up at 5 o'clock and then gives him a kiss. Strawberry jelly donut, she notices. And Joey smirks, "I'll pick up a dozen for the weekend." After Cheryl leaves, Joey celebrates a little too hard, squeezing the strawberry jelly out of his donut, getting it everywhere. Womp womp.
The amount of times that's happened to me. Just the over-celebrating with a jelly donut in my hand.
Now I feel like a jelly donut. I haven't had one of those in a hot minute.
I actually don't love jelly donuts. It's kind of a weird, I don't like it.
Yeah. Do you like your donuts without filling in the middle?
Yeah, I like the little cake sprinkle donuts. That's my favorite.
Cake. I do too. Yeah. I like the cake.
Yeah. Or an apple fritter dipped in coffee.
Ooh. Mm.
So good.
Man, now I'm hungry. Next, we're in Jesse's room where Kimmy is playing the keyboard as DJ holds up a mic. While they sing.
You were doing pretty good.
Oh, it's... No, I wasn't.
I mean, I know it's fake, but it looked better than... Only once did I go, wait, that's not quite on time. But for the most part, it was...
Except I'm not pressing the keyboard. Like, my hands are just sort of floating. Like,
well,
I'm touching the keyboard, but I'm not pressing the keys down. So even though I have the tempo down,
right.
Like, I'm not pressing those keys. Like, it's you know, this whole episode, my acting is questionable, but, you know...
I thought you did great.
I was more concerned about singing. You know, anytime you have to sing on camera, right. It's terrifying. So I think I was more self-conscious about that than my keyboard playing.
Well, you were doing great at both, so.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Locomotion, even.
Yes, Locomotion, originally by Eva Narcissus.
Narcissus Boyd?
Oh, and later covered by Kylie Minogue. Amazing. Oh,
yes.
I don't know if I've heard of the original. I've heard the 1980s version, but I love this song. This is great. And DJ's playing the tambourine much better than she played the guitar in season 1 when we were the bracelets. So this is the right instrument for DJ is tambourine.
Yeah, tambourine is usually pretty manageable.
Yeah. Jesse walks in and stops them, and then he starts to panic. He asks DJ where they got this tape, and she informs him that it was already in there.
Jesse begs, please tell me you didn't tape over my Casa de Pancakes jingle. He plays the tape back and confirms that they did tape over the jingle.
Ugh.
He's furious, yelling that they destroyed it. Kimmy replies, well, not all of it. You still have Casa de Pancakes, ole. Way to go, Kimmy. Rub salt in the
Great,
wound.
Kimmy, yeah.
Jesse reminds DJ that this is his room and they have no right to be in here without his permission. DJ attempts to speak, but Jesse cuts her off. He's very mad.
I understand.
Well,
why he's mad?
Well, but the level of mad is it goes high. It goes a little too high.
I disagree on that, but that's okay. I think he was appropriately angry.
Really? Oh, see, yeah. No, I do disagree. I think he overreacted. Here's my problem with Jesse and all of his moments like this.
Right.
Is that I feel like these emotions aren't really earned. Like, is this level of anger really justified? Because he blows his top at DJ, kicks her out of the room.
Yeah, but they stayed up all night writing a jingle that's due today and thought it was done. And then these kids go into his room and start messing with his equipment and record over something.
I understand.
He shouldn't be in there. No touchy.
I understand that he's sleep deprived. You know, he's got a hot temper.
I mean, he definitely went from 0 to 100.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's
but
the thing.
But I do think, I was like, I get why you'd be pissed.
Well, when Joey was mad at DJ a few episodes ago, it's because he was panicked because he didn't know where she was.
Right.
When Danny was angry, it's because Jesse crashed his car bullet. When Jesse's angry, it's all like, it's all inner. It's, you know, he's mad because he doesn't have privacy in the house. He's mad because, you know, the girls are messing with his jingle.
I mean, it's a little self-centered, but yes. This time I think it's not self-centered and it's more just that someone was using his stuff without asking and ruined something that was important.
I'm not saying the girls were in the right. I'm just saying his level of anger was
it's because I'm loud. So I think like that sort of loud reaction to me. I'm like, that makes sense.
It's normalized for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he loses it.
He really does lose it.
And do you remember? Yeah, it was season two when you broke Jesse's arms and how he made you feel so bad that whole episode too. Again, Jesse's mad because, well, he didn't mean to break his arms, but
Jesse broke his arms.
Right.
I accidentally cut his hair, and which he was legitimately like bummed about, but also like hair will grow back. Okay.
Right.
But then he went out and acted like an idiot and broke his arms.
Right. And then made you feel bad about it for the rest of the episode.
Yeah. This is
a pattern. This is a pattern with Jesse.
But that was him blaming his stupid mistake on me.
Yeah.
This one wasn't his stupid mistake. It was the kids.
Well, it was, but I still think
we shall agree to disagree.
We'll agree to disagree. That's fine. And that's fine. Yeah. That's what we're here for, is to bring our own interpretation to this. So Jesse cannot believe that the girls would record over a tape without checking it first. His anger builds. Now, why don't you guys both get out of here before I get mad? And Kimmy sarcastically questions, before? Danny walks in and DJ finally gets a word in to apologize to Jesse. And she adds, but you don't have to worry because I'll never come in this room again, before storming off.
I love the drama of 12, 13-year-old girls. I'm never coming in here again.
Ever again. And right. I'm sure that was very real for her. I'm sure she felt that way in that moment.
I mean, if I were Jesse, I would have been like, yeah, that's fine. Please don't.
Don't ever. I'm putting a lock on my door
right
now. Don't
come in here again because it's not your stuff.
So Danny asks Jesse what happened. Jesse is still filled with rage while telling him they messed up his jingle tape. Danny puts his hands on his hips. Don't you think you're overreacting? Jesse shouts back, assuring he is not overreacting. He yells, now my whole life is ruined.
That's overreacting.
He catches himself and admits, right. Okay, now I'm overreacting. Danny notices that Jesse lost his temper again, and Jesse tries to defend himself, but acknowledges he lost his cool and came down too hard on her. Danny encourages him to straighten things out with DJ. Before Jesse walks out, Danny asks, Jesse, do you need a hug? And Jesse pauses and gives him a disgusted look. Haven't I been through enough? Poor Jesse. Yeah.
Right? The last thing you want when you're angry is to be hugged. Don't
hug me. Isn't that the worst? Yeah. Especially when, like, did your mom, well, no, you didn't have siblings, but like when my brothers and I would fight, my mom would make us hug each other. Like, it's the worst. You don't want to hug someone.
Right.
Especially when you're like peeved. Yeah. It's the worst.
Yeah.
So the next scene, we're in Michelle's room. Steph walks into the room and starts to vent. DJ was playing all day with Kimmy Gibbleberger.
That's your new official name, by the way.
Excuse me.
Kimmy Gibbleberger.
That would be Geekburger to you.
I like Gibbleberger. It's also a little harder to say.
It is hard to say. I tripped over
Kimmy,
it.
Kimmy Gibbleberger.
Gibbleberger. Say that five times fast.
Kimmy Gibbleberger. Right.
Stephanie continues. I don't believe I'm going to say this, but would you play with me, Michelle? Michelle says no. And Steph begs, saying she'll play anything Michelle wants. Boy, you were desperate.
Oh, yeah.
Michelle exclaims, horsey. And Steph gives in. Okay, hop on. She gets
on
her hands.
Where all my back problems started.
Right here, this scene.
Right, this scene, yep.
She gets on her hands and knees, lets Michelle up on her back, and Steph crawls over to Mr. Bear and sighs. Mr. Bear, I can't believe I've sunk this low. next, we are in the living room, and Jesse has a mysteriously large object under a sheet. He calls DJ downstairs, and she sarcastically comments, well, what did I do now? He tells her he has a fun surprise for her, but Kimmy warns DJ it could be a trick.
Jesse, what have poor Kimmy's parents done to her?
There's a lot to unpack.
No, everything's going to be great. No, it's not.
It's a trick.
Yeah, it's a trick. They're all lying. Yeah.
There's some childhood trauma here for sure. Jesse rips off the sheet to reveal a set of drums. DJ reads the front of the set. Harry Levin Trio. Jesse says he got a good deal because Harry's going back into the deli business. He lets her know that the drums are all hers. DJ can't believe it. She asks why. Jesse responds, I just wanted to make sure we're buddies. DJ runs in for a hug. And Kimmy follows, hugging an uncomfortable Jesse and saying, thanks for the skins, bud. I just love John looks so uncomfortable.
Right?
It gives me so much joy. DJ sits at her drum set and Jesse hands her drumsticks so she can give them a try. She immediately beats the drums terribly while Jesse and Kimmy wins. DJ asks how she's doing and Jesse jokes, well, you're facing the right direction. He takes the sticks so he can show her because he used to play a little bit in junior high school. He just cranks out this impressive drum solo, like, you know,
he's
John
like just
was
a little of this and then
loving it. Yeah, he just goes all ham on this. And Joey and Cheryl walk in their ski outfits, and Stephanie comes in from downstairs or from upstairs. Everyone gathers around the drums and starts moving to the beat. And your dancing is so
what was I know I'm like it, just doing some sort of weird little like vibing moment, but well,
at least you have rhythm. I do not. I am more awkward in this scene than ever before. Like trying to keep the beat.
Here's what I'll tell you. It's very hard to dance with the weight of that much hair on your head. It was throwing you off a little bit. You know what I mean? You started to find the rhythm and you're like, whoa, my hair. You know, so it happens. It's
yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. I forgive myself then. But yeah, I'm so awkward in this whole scene. Like just, it's so cringy to watch because I can tell how self-conscious I am trying to like, am I on my mark? Am I cheating out? Am I dancing? It's just, I was like, oh, it brought me right back to that moment.
Oh, well, it's amazing because I don't see any of that.
You don't really? I thought it just...
I mean, occasionally I'll see like a little bit of like a look or maybe a sort of moment where you're like, you know, I can see the AB come out where you're like, embarrassed or something. But no, most of the time you would have no clue you are not just 100% committed to putting it all out there.
Okay, good. Oh, that makes me feel a little better because I thought this was super obvious. At least to me it was. You're your own worst critic, so that makes sense.
But, yeah, exactly.
Jesse finishes his drum solo, everyone cheers, and Nick enters through the front door. Perfect timing. Steph shouts, we got drums! And Kimmy corrects her, no, we got drums, pointing to her and DJ. DJ corrects again, no, I got drums.
I'm still, like, if anyone bought my kid a drum set unexpectedly, murder.
It would be, a death of that relationship immediately.
Right?
Yeah, what was he thinking? Mm. Cheryl interrupts and tells Joey it's time to go to Tahoe. Nick warns them that the fog is very thick. Joey yeah, compares.
It's going to come into the house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like instantly it's just there.
Wrap tendrils around you. Yeah.
Joey compares the thickness to pea soup, and Jesse plays a rim shot on the drums to finish off the joke.
Wait, I thought DJ did that.
That comes later when DJ gets back.
Yep. Got it.
Yep. Lots of rim shots in this episode. Joey and Cheryl exit, and Jesse greets Nick with a big hug. Nick compliments his son's looks, and Jesse compliments Nick right back.
By the way, did you know who the impression was that he was doing?
When
he says, don't forget to turn off the bubble machine.
I thought it was Ed Sullivan until he said the bubble machine thing. So then I was like, I don't know.
Lawrence
who this
Welk.
Is. Lawrence Welk. Okay, a different variety
had
show.
The bubble machine and the orchestra and the thing.
That's what it was. Okay, because I at first I thought it was.
I
Ed
had
Sullivan.
No idea until he made the bubble reference. And aha, I was like, oh, that's right,
Lawrence yeah. Welk. Okay,
yeah. And again, anyone probably listening to this podcast is like,
who? Yeah. That's why we have Google.
And I can't even explain it because I don't even. I just know he hosted a show that there was music and bubbles on.
And bubbles. That's, well, there was a song. Yeah. He did a song that involved champagne or bubbles or something.
No, that's Tiny Bubbles. That's Tiny Tim.
Oh, so I'm thinking I've got the wrong everything. Okay.
That's all right.
It was a throwaway joke. Dave did it brilliantly. And now I know what the reference is. Jesse and Nick finish exchanging compliments and they simultaneously stroke their hair and say, thanks. Nick tells Jesse that everything is going great. And right then, Grandma Irene barges in shouting, girls, your grandpa's moving in forever. Uh-oh.
Oh.
Jess turns to Nick and says, what did you do this time? Nick says he simply suggested that she spend a little less time at night school and concentrate on her domestic responsibilities. Irene chimes in. His exact words were, yo, Irene, drop out of that flaky college and come home and make me dinner.
Ooh, buddy.
I know. Like
I was like, what?
Nick has shown this side of himself before.
Oh yeah, Nick, the misogyny runs deep in
really
Grandpa
does.
Nick. He's very, old school, has these very rigid old school ideas.
Yeah,
but this one, I was like,
yeah, that was particularly bad.
Because it's not even funny.
No, not even in 1989. So, a lot of jokes didn't age well from 1989, but this one I think was offensive even back then.
Yeah. Yeah, this was a definite, let's make fun of the women joke.
Yeah.
I love it.
So they loudly start to
But apparently
to
neither did Grandma Irene, so kudos to her.
I love Grandma Irene. She puts him in his place.
I do too. She's great.
She might wear pantyhose on a plane, but I'll forgive her for that because
she
is sticking up for herself. And she's like, you're out. You're out of my house. Jesse reminds them, hey, there's kids in the room. Stop bickering. Irene notices that DJ has a new set of drums, prompting DJ to give her an off-tune drum beat. Danny walks in through the front door in his original satin 49ers jacket. Oh,
that Jensen is just coveting.
Oh, yeah. Jensen
just wishes he could have it. Yeah.
Would pay any amount for this jacket.
Yeah.
Danny sighs, oh, no, that racket is coming from my house. DJ tells him that Uncle Jesse bought the drums for her, and Danny sarcastically acts delighted. He's just like, Jesse, can I see you in the kitchen? And the guys exit to go have a word in the kitchen.
Oof.
Steph asks DJ when she'll get a turn. And DJ says, right after I get good at this. And Steph groans. So I guess the answer is never. Love it. You take no prisoners. You're just like.
No, none. Yeah. Just
lobbing insults.
I wanted a turn. You're not going to give me a turn? Well, guess what? You suck. Yeah, that's basically.
She's not wrong. She's not wrong. DJ and instruments just don't mix right now. You can't play the guitar, she can't play the drums.
It's true. It was very funny though because it was such a sibling thing to do. Like your sibling just gets something and you're like, can I have a turn? Can I do it? Can I do it? Can I do it?
Yeah. So true to life. So true to life. So in the kitchen, Danny asks Jesse, drums? Did I do something to you?
That's the only reason that you would buy a child drums is if you really, really dislike someone.
Yeah, it's payback or something. Yeah, it's not a kind gesture. I get where Jesse's coming from because he's like, I love the drums. Why wouldn't my niece love the drums? But it's like, dude, now you got to live with the drums. Nobody wants to live with drums.
Nobody loves the drums when someone is learning to play them.
No.
Nobody loves the drums.
No, this is the worst. Jesse tells him, hey, every kid in America wants drums. And Danny fires back, good, then we'll have no trouble selling them.
That one actually made me laugh. I was like, oh, yeah, I like that.
The drumming continues. Danny yells for them to stop, only to find out that this ruckus is coming from Irene. Like, even grandma gets a turn on these drums. Right? Danny asks what possessed Jesse to buy her drums. And Jesse, who's eating cold fried chicken, by the way.
On the counter.
On the counter.
As he does.
Yep. This is just a classic Jesse moment. He says he felt bad and wanted to make DJ feel better. Danny doesn't like that Jesse tried to buy her off. And Jesse defends himself. She loves the drums. She loves me. What's your problem? Danny emphasizes that he bought her an obnoxious gift instead of talking to her. Yeah. Jesse sarcastically apologizes for bringing the joy of music into a young girl's life and then storms back into the living room.
You know, the more I see Grandpa Nick, though, the more when Jesse has these little tantrum moments and is like kind of emotionally acts as a child and like makes it all about, fine, then you don't want to, you know. Fine, I was being nice. And you're like, no, but you weren't, though. Then I see Grandpa Nick and I go, ah, okay. Yep.
It all makes sense.
It all makes sense. And I get why you're struggling. Because you were, he wasn't raised by people that, well, at least Grandpa Nick was not very emotionally
available,
aware, shall we say?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. It's easy to see that this is passed down from generation to generation. Yep. And Jesse, he'll eventually come around. It takes him 22 minutes, but he'll eventually come around. Well, but in the moment, he's heated. He's petty. And, you know, I as many issues as I have with Jesse, I do enjoy watching this. Back in the living room, Jesse announces to DJ that he has bad news. Her dad doesn't want her to have the drums.
And now this,
he threw Danny under the bus, right?
Just boom, 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 right over the back of Danny with that bus.
Yeah. So petty. It's so petty. I was like, all right. Even Nick thinks that DJ should get to keep the drums. Irene interjects, Nick, I think you should let them work it out. And he replies, well, now that I live here, I should be involved. Danny's face turns sour. You live here now? Poor Danny. He just comes home to all sorts of debauchery.
You have drums and seven new people in your house.
Irene leaves and Nick tells everyone she'll be back. Cue Irene, who immediately walks back in the front door.
With the fog.
With the
bringing
fog.
Some of it trailing behind her.
Bringing the fog right with her. She tells them that she's back because the fog is too thick and she can't see the steps. Danny is just thrilled. Here we are, all fogged in together. One big happy family. And of course, the Harry Levin trio. DJ gives a rim shot. There it is.
Yep, there it was.
So at least she can do that. You know, she can't play the drums, but she can do a rim shot.
But she can, she can emphasize the funny parts.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah.
I need to get away and pack up the car and break free to embark on an adventurous weekend. What do you say, AB? Will you come with me?
Well, how will we get there, Jody Sweetin?
Well, may I suggest the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe.
Oh, I have seen this car. It is stunning.
Right? I am loving the new Hyundais, and the features make it the perfect vehicle to pack up the family and get away. There's available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, which is perfect when you have two kids who both want to stare at their phones rather than talk to you. I speak from experience.
Relatable. The Santa Fe's entire existence is to make sure it can take you on any adventure, stress-free, and ready to relax.
Ooh, what do you say, Andrea? How about we, like, you know, time travel isn't real, but what if we, like, take it back to the late 80s and go on a phone-free weekend somewhere?
Oh, yes. Let's go to Joshua Tree, where there's not even cell phone service.
Perfect. Let's go on a little weekend trip somewhere.
Yeah.
Out, we'll make it like it's 1988, no phones. No, nothing. I'm going to braid my hair into a rat tail and bring a guitar to sing like a ripper. It's going to be great.
I'm going
to
put my hair up in a scrunchie with my permed hair and head on out in the Hyundai. So if you want to just escape your house filled with kids or your sister's widowed husband and your jingle writing partner, just go up to the snow and sing a cappella with your ripper's bandmates. This is the car to do it.
Well, that is if you don't already own a motorcycle and maybe have a helmet.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Hey, Fanaritos, we want to talk to you about Target Circle, the same program you know and love, now with automatic deals.
I know it, and I definitely love it. And did you know that the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
It's the new Target Circle 360. Plus, with unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We come back from a commercial break. We see an establishing shot of a nighttime San Francisco obscured by fog, just in case you forgot what the dilemma is during this episode. Right.
Although I'm surprised that with as thick as the fog appears to be, you wouldn't see any of San Francisco.
That's true. Yeah.
You can't even see the steps.
No.
It's coming into your house.
You see like the Transamerica building or whatever. Yeah. That fog is as thick as pea soup. Next, we're in Stefan DJ's room. Danny is setting up an extra bed for Kimmy when DJ asks if he's decided about her drums yet. Danny tells her no, he wants to sleep on it. Kimmy jokes, well, isn't it more comfortable to sleep on your bed? And then Kimmy laughs at her own joke. She's the only one laughing, but it doesn't matter.
I mean, I felt and it really needed another, but
we needed a rim shot there. Yes.
I heard it in my head when you said it, though. Yeah.
Thank you. Nick and Irene walk in to say goodnight, still avoiding each other. Irene mentions she'll be sleeping in Joey's room in case anybody wants to beg for forgiveness. Danny gets all the girls into bed, and DJ asks, why is everyone mad tonight? Steph answers, well, maybe it's because Kimmy Gibbler is here. Danny doesn't think so, and then he notices Kimmy obnoxiously chomping on chips in bed. And he admits to Steph, well, maybe. What's wrong with
Kimmy? I blame the fog, really. Everyone's in a bad mood because of the fog.
Well, Kimmy's not helping. She's not helping getting
not
chips
helping
in the bed.
Chips.
Like, making her sarcastic remarks, you know?
Right?
She's a comic relief, but she's not helping Danny in this moment.
No, definitely not.
In Michelle's room, Jesse's reading Horton Hears a Who to Michelle. Danny walks
Classic.
In to check on her. Oh, yeah. Jesse sarcastically tells Danny, don't worry, I didn't buy her a thing. So petty. So petty.
Bro, calm down. You're reading her a story. It's lovely. It's great. Nobody said anything.
Jesse's a little bitter.
Yeah.
Jesse gets back to reading and he starts to tell a passive aggressive story based on this argument between himself and Danny. Danny picks up Michelle and Michelle calls him a geeky giant, pulling the reference from Jesse's story.
From Jesse's book, right? Yeah. The geeky giant. Yeah.
The geeky giant. Jesse leaves laughing and Danny attempts to tell Michelle a new story about himself and Jesse, painting himself in a better light, but Michelle still calls him a geeky giant.
I like Danny's story way better though. I felt like that was a more, that, yeah.
It's more appropriate. I was like, yep, for,
I get that story.
For, yeah, a 2-year-old or, yeah, however old she was. Next, we're in Steph and DJ's room. Kimmy is intensely snoring as DJ and Steph lay wide awake. Again, my acting, like it's, I know it's a sitcom. It's not supposed to be real, but it's really fake. Like,
you know, when you tell kids like, hey, fake snore, like they do it, that, you know, you're like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, it, you know, you were doing everything that a 13 or 14 year old would do when asked to pretend to snore really loudly.
Yeah, I couldn't quite get the guttural, like the guttural back of the throat it's hard. Noise.
Yeah, no, it's then you sound like a Wookiee. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was difficult, but I did my best. You know, I tried.
I thought it was great. It was perfectly obnoxious, Kimmy.
I can get away with it because it's Kimmy Gibbler. DJ flips on the light and Steph says, does she snore that loud because she has all that air in her head? DJ finds it weird because Kimmy never snores when she's sleeping in class. And I just got to give a shout out here to the DP for lighting us so perfectly that you can see our faces, but it still looks like nighttime, like the middle of the night.
I will say there was a couple scenes that I was like, what's happening with the lighting? But this one looked pretty good.
This one was well done. Yeah, I agree. In a couple of future scenes, it's not so great. But for now, perfect. DJ and Steph decide to get Kimmy out of the room. They pull her to her feet, saying it's time for her sleepwalk. Steph shakes her head and with a Mr. T reference says, I pity the fool that marries this woman. Steph and DJ guide Kimmy into Michelle's room, placing her on the rocking chair. Steph encourages Kimmy to snore her head off. Now she's Michelle's problem.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle pops up from her crib when hearing the snore. She hangs over the crib and shouts, oh no, shh. Kimmy continues her snoring and Michelle puts her hands over her ears in agony.
It's quite a snore. I feel like you might need to get checked for sleep apnea or something.
Yeah, I need one of those CPAP alarming machines.
Yeah, you need a CPAP. A CPAP-y machine.
Oh, yes.
Kimmy perfect. Gibbler needs a CPAP-y machine.
CPAP-y machine.
Yep.
Dude, perfect reference. Next, in the kitchen, it's dark and Joey and Cheryl quietly walk in through the back door. Cheryl apologizes for not making it out of town. Joey jokes that if the fog didn't clear up, they would still be driving around the Kmart parking lot. And he kisses Cheryl goodbye. Wait, but how does Cheryl get home?
And then is that the last we ever see Cheryl?
For this episode, yeah.
Right. Yeah, how'd she get home?
How does she get home if it's too foggy for Irene to go home, but it's not too foggy for Cheryl to drive home and Joey just sends her on the way? I don't know. This relationship is not going to last easily.
Well, maybe that's why we never see her again.
Like, bye. She's lost. She's still walking around San Francisco somewhere in the fog.
Yeah, she's still lost in the fog. Right. She's still driving around the Kmart parking lot. And there's not even a Kmart anymore.
Joey is attempting to be extremely quiet. But then he loses his balance, trips over the skis, falls backwards, down his stairs, and into his bedroom. Excellent
the
physical
best part
comedy.
Is, as soon, I didn't know the fall was coming, but I see him set those skis there and I was like, why would you put those there? You're going to trip over them. Yeah. And then he did it and I was like, oh, and maybe it's just because I'm extraordinarily aware of things that I will trip over. So that's why I was paying attention. But
Yep.
It was great physical comedy though. I mean, he just tumbled right backwards.
Yeah. I was like, did they have they must have had a pad down there for him.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise he would have broken his back. He committed to that bit. And
he really did.
Really. He well executed.
Yep.
Very well executed. Nick hears this commotion and shouts from the couch, Irene, is that you? Joey doesn't answer. He begins taking off his clothes in the darkness of his room. He gets into bed when suddenly a body flings on him. Oh, sweetheart, you want to kiss and make up? Joey shouts, I don't know. He flips on the light and sees that it's Irene. They both scream and Nick runs down the stairs. He sees,
so quickly, by the way.
Oh, yeah. From the couch? Yeah, he got instantly. He apparated.
If anyone breaks into your house, Grandpa Nick, he's on it. He will be right there the second you scream.
Yes. Yeah. Nick sees the two of them in bed together and shouts, first college? Now this? Danny and Jesse run down the stairs in shock. Joey assures Nick, never in a million billion years would I be down here with your wife. Irene shoots him a look. Hey, what's wrong with his wife? Joey assures her that nothing is wrong. She's a very attractive woman. Jesse tells him, back off. That's his mommy he's talking about. Joey's just digging his hole deeper and deeper.
Yep.
Danny hands Joey a robe as he gets out of bed. Joey tells Nick, your wife shouldn't be sleeping alone. She loves to cuddle. And they exit. Jesse forces his parents to sit down and settle their problem. Nick apologizes for losing his temper and tells her, first thing in the morning, we'll go to that shop you like and buy you a brand new outfit. Irene responds, you can't buy me a new outfit and expect everything to be better. Nick says, you're right. I'll throw in a pair of new shoes. Jesse tells...
We're really seeing it. Just right? Really seeing it. Like, yep.
They are just... Yes, this yeah. is right we there in neon
family
lights.
Family patterns... toxic family patterns get yeah. passed down from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is how it goes. Jesse tells his dad that they should sit down and talk about their problems instead of him buying her gifts. He suddenly realizes how this connects to him and DJ and sighs. Oh boy. Jesse tells Nick he got a lot of things from him. I got your pride, your ambition, your hair. Thank you, by the way. Then he mentions the not-so-great quality he got from Nick, his temper. Jesse sits and asks Nick and Irene if they're ready to talk to each other. Nick and Jesse agree that they can both do better. Jesse tells him, because this fog is going to lift, and frankly, Father, you can't live here. Next, in the living room, Jesse sits near Danny on the couch and apologizes about the drum fiasco. And Danny gives him a sincere thank you. DJ appears at the top of the stairs and asks, what's going on down there? Danny asks her why she's awake, and DJ explains it was, well, first it was from Kimmy snoring, then there was a loud crash, and then people screaming. This time, she was on her way back from the bathroom. Jesse asks DJ to come downstairs so he can talk with her. He wants to tell her that he was wrong and Danny was right. Danny shouts, DJ, get down here, in full support. DJ asks Danny again if she can keep the drum set, to which he says, yes, but the sticks have got to go. And Danny exits. Jesse grabs DJ and sits her down on the couch. He explains how he should have talked to her today instead of buying her a big gift. DJ tells him, hey, don't be so hard on yourself. Jesse begins.
Right, most kids are like, no, that's a great way to solve problems. Yeah, I think this is working out excellent for me.
Buy me something every time we have a fight, please.
Yeah.
Jesse begins to tell her about his temper and how it accidentally hurts the people he loves. DJ doesn't blame him for being mad at her because she did tape over his pancake jingle. Okay, they're both admitting fault. Yeah, I like this. Yeah. He continues to say what he did was wrong, but DJ doesn't quite get it yet. Jesse starts to tell a story from when he was a kid. If he did something wrong, his dad would blow his top and send him to his room. Then a few hours later, Nick would come back with a Batman comic book. They never talked about their problems. Jesse tells her, I don't want that to happen to you and me. And DJ tells him, I think we're doing pretty good. Jesse gives her a big kiss and admits he got into a lot of trouble when he was a kid. He starts to tell her a story about this one time he was playing football while his dad watched the Beverly Hillbillies and Jesse kicked a field goal right through Jethro's face. Jesse laughs at the story. And suddenly he notices DJ is asleep on his chest. He wraps her in a blanket, ending his story, and they lived happily ever after. And that's aww. Our show, ladies and gentlemen.
That was such a sweet ending aww. Moment. I loved that. And it was, you know, such a parenting thing that you can relate to when you're like, ha, and then this time when I was a kid, but and your kids are just like, I don't care.
Yeah, that's you're boring. Like, you've lost the kid, stop you've talking. Lost the attention.
Right. Yeah, yeah. You're just entertaining yourself at that point. But
basically.
But at least he totally got that and was like, yep, you know what? This is actually the good story, is being here with these kids. And yeah. It was very sweet.
Oh, it was such a sweet moment. A great yeah. resolution. You know, they both admitted they
yeah,
were wrong.
Great resolution. The drums are gone.
Yeah.
Everyone has admitted, you know, look, I screwed up. You screwed up. This is the thing. Mm-hmm. We see Jesse not wanting to be like his dad.
Yes. There's growth.
Which is a big plus.
There's personal growth in this episode. Yes. Very yep. pleased yeah,
there's
to some, see that.
There's a little bit of redemption in it. In yeah. that we see Jesse go, oh, you know what? I see where I get this. And I kind of yeah. can't keep doing this.
Yep. No.
Now,
it's great.
Did you have any everywhere you look moments?
I do. I'm kind of cheating, but I do have one.
Ooh, okay. I have two.
Oh, okay. Well, mine is in the first scene, or no. Yeah, in the first scene where I appear.
Right.
I come you in, I barge in with my hair, and I'm like, good morning, I'm here for the weekend. So
right?
This is a GIF or like a meme on the internet. And
really?
I send this to every, as soon as like when I go visit friends out of town or whatever, and I send this to them to announce my arrival. I've arrived. I'm here for the weekend. And my goal in life is to send, instead of talking, just to be able to respond to people solely with Kimmy Gibbler GIFs. There's a GIF for every reaction, every
there
type
really
of possible
is.
Scenario. And
there
I'm like,
really is.
I just want to communicate in Kimmy Gibbler GIFs. And this is one of my favorites.
I absolutely love that you do this. And I 100% think it's an appropriate thing. And now that I know that there's a GIF of it, that's what I'm going to do when I'm traveling places.
When you travel, you announce your arrival. I'm here for the
announce
weekend.
Announce my arrival. Yeah, I'm here for the weekend. Oh my God, that's great. I love it.
What were your everywhere you looks?
So I had two everywhere you look moments. Okay. One is when you see the guys coming out of Michelle's room. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure at which point it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's right when DJ records over the thing and she storms out and Danny comes in or whatever.
Uh-huh.
On that first scene in Jesse's room. You see in the hallway that there are now family photos on the wall. Whereas before it was just... I think kind of a generic like art thing or whatever. But now you see some family photos with all of us on the wall. But
what they
are is just set stills. So they're actually photographs of other episodes that like the behind the scenes photographer would get. So there's scenes from the horse episode where we're standing there. There's a couple ones. But it's really funny because when you really look at what the pictures are, you'd be like, well, who took the pictures.
Yeah. You're like, that was a scene.
Right, you're like, that was a scene. We saw that happen, but wait, I didn't know there was a picture taken. But that was one.
Yeah, some of those pictures. I have that horse picture of the three of us, you, me, and Candace on the horse. I have that printed out as like an 8x10 in my box of memorabilia.
Yeah, I have a ton of those like backstage photos somewhere.
Yeah, those are great. I love those.
And then the second one, I don't know if you noticed the shirt that I was wearing.
It felt like a repeat outfit.
I don't think it was a repeat.
Oh, okay.
But it did repeat a theme.
What? What did it repeat?
Scotty dogs.
You had a Scotty dog on your shirt?
It said Scotty. It didn't even, it said Scotty dog.
Scotty
dog. And then the sleeves were like plaid. And I was like, oh my God, it's another one.
That is your running
theme.
Maybe
that was a repeat. I didn't remember it though.
Okay. But the Scotty dog is definitely a repeating pattern for Stephanie.
Yes.
Janice must have been so proud. You know, Scotty dogs. It's great.
Although that dog that she had that was a Scotty, her first dog, ate all of her shoes and Bonnie was the name of the dog. She talked about how that dog drove her nuts.
Oh,
so I don't know if it was
this was not inspired by Janice.
It was not inspired. But it was, how did we, I guess Scotty dogs were just a thing.
We got to get Gina Stracones and Roberta Hayes
on the
podcast. We can ask them all these questions because they were brilliant at dressing us.
Yes, what was the deal with Scotty dogs and why were they everywhere? Was it a late 80s fan thing? I don't know.
Yeah, was it some seven-year-olds were into, you know, what was...
Right? Although I guess, you know what? There were Scotty dogs. I remember when the kids were younger, like all of a sudden llamas were the thing and you'd go to like Justice and everything had a llama on it.
True.
And then it was narwhals and then it would, you know.
Yeah.
So I get it. Like we
cycle through animals.
We cycle through silly little animals that were like, this is the cutest thing ever. And I guess the late 1989 was Scotty dogs.
It was the year of the Scotty dog. Okay.
Indeed. but those were my two everywhere you look moments.
Oh, those are great. Those were good.
Yeah.
You know, eagle eye.
Well, this was another really great episode of the show. I love this. We see some personal growth with Joey. We see some drums come and go. We see where Jesse is getting. Did I say personal growth with Joey?
You did. You did, but that's okay. Well, I screw up their names all the time, so I was willing to let it fly.
Right? We see some personal growth with Jesse and also like where his stuff is coming from. But, you know, it's the last time we ever see Cheryl. She is never to be seen or heard from again. So,
I think she's in one.
Is she in one more?
I don't know. I don't know what's coming up because I don't watch ahead.
Oh, okay.
She's in a total of three. She's in a total of three.
Okay, then there is one more somewhere.
So there's one more somewhere. Don't know where.
Well, apparently she made it through the fog.
She survived Carl's.
Maybe
attack.
She just sat out in the backyard all night.
Oh,
you know, she's just like I can't go anywhere. I'm just gonna sit back here.
The backyard shape shifts into whatever you need.
She slept in her car in the backyard because obviously she pulled it into the backyard because that's where they came from.
That's the parking lot for all random cars.
Yeah. There's a huge parking structure underneath the Tanner house. And that's how they make all their money to afford being able to live in that house is they just charge. You know, you can charge a lot for parking in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. Parking is tight. Yeah. You can make a killing on that.
Well, another great episode. So much fun reviewing this. I'm so glad you're here this week. And yay. I just love doing this show with you. It's so much fun. And thank you to all of our amazing fanaritos that are listening to the show. If you want to follow us on Instagram, make sure you follow How Rude. Hold on. Let's start that again.
It's the outro.
You know what it is? I start talking and then my brain goes somewhere else. And then I'm like, oh no, I'm still talking.
No, we just need 30 more seconds, Jody.
Just 30 more seconds. My brain's like, nope, that's all you get. Yeah. So make sure that you are following us on Instagram at HowRudePodcast. You can also email us at HowRudePodcast@gmail.com. Make sure that you are liking and subscribing to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to it so that you can make sure and get all the newest episodes as soon as they come out. And make sure and like and give reviews so that more fun fanaritos can come join our delightful little podcast. But thank you everyone for another fun week of How Rude Tanneritos. And remember, the house is
You have the bracelet and you still messed it up.
I started reading it upside down. The world is small, but the house is full.
Man. You even have a cheat sheet and you still messed it up.
I started it upside down.
Oh, Jody. We need to put arrows on the bracelet pointing up this way up.
It's like, well, the little letters spin. You know. Anyway, we got it. It's fine. Everything's great.
Everything is fine. Everything's just fine.
All right, everybody. Love you.
Bye.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Let's talk about Target Circle.
Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target?
With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit Target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circlecard.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.